Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and tonight we're having a guest chef in the house. Woo-hoo! We have Kelly Swan with us, and I'm going to go ahead and get our co-host, the lovely and Miss Talented Amy Frost. Amy, how are you tonight?
I am doing fabulous. I'm not as frightened about the holidays as I was last week, so I'm feeling much better now.
That's good. That's very, very good. So can you introduce Kelly and kind of tell you how you guys met each other and our show tonight's going to be about having a healthy, happy holidays while in recovery. We're going to be talking about all different aspects of addiction and being able to move into that and out of that when you're working with the holidays.
Yeah, you know, I'm very excited about it. This is a very, very important topic. And Kelly and I are new friends, and we've just started working together. I really don't know her that well, so I really want her to introduce herself. But I know her from some experiences of working together, and I love her kindness. I love her gentle directness and the feeling of safety that she brings to a conversation. So I'm really excited about the conversation we're going to have tonight, and then really talking about how to stay sober during the holidays, which hopefully translates to, you know, your real life all the time, in all kinds of areas of addiction. So, Kelly, I'd love to have you introduce yourself, and let's dive into this wonderful topic.
Well, thank you, ladies, and thank you for those kind words, Amy. That was very nice. My name's Kelly Swan. I'm a chemical dependency counselor. I have a degree in multicultural studies. I've been in the behavioral health field for 28 years. I myself have been in recovery for 31 years, and I moved to Vegas 6 years ago, and I'm telling you, for somebody like me who hopes to someday be put out of business because everybody finds the recovery train, I look around here and I see sex addiction and gambling addiction and, of course, the drugs, the alcohol, the shopping. But I also see a big, strong recovery community here that I'm part of and that's really active. And so this having a conversation about maintaining or entering into recovery during the holidays from all the addictions, I think it's really pertinent and needed. So thanks for letting me be on the show.
We're really honored to have you.
Yeah, very honored to have you on here. So go ahead, Amy.
Well, I think I'm just going to posture it, and then you said Kelly is our expert chef for tonight. You and I will be making side dishes as we go here. But the thing that I'm really, of course, drug and alcohol, which he's very proficient in, we'll be talking about that. And for me personally, what I'm really interested in is talking about the shopping addiction and work addiction and how we look at that during the holidays. So I've never really, you know, really thought about that or danced with that before. So, Kelly, we'd just love to have you just kind of dive in here and we'll just kind of go forward on what how you look at addiction and recovery during the holidays and some ideas of how we can support ourselves and those that we love in being sober during the holidays.
Hey, Kelly, I have one question to kind of add to that as just kind of a little cherry on top. We've been talking about cherry on top since before we got on the air. why is it harder during the holidays to be in recovery?
Oh, good question. Good cherry. As we enter this season, and if we think about triggers, things that create urges or cravings, things that precipitate relapses for people, whether we're talking chemicals or processed addictions. And like you said, Amy, workaholism is included in that, perfectionism, compulsive shopping. As we go into this time of year, the days are shorter, the nights are longer, people are more holed up. And then there's the, hey, we're going into party season and shopping season, and all the retailers are trying to get their numbers up. And for a lot of folks, this end of the year time, when a lot of staff takes vacation or wrapping up financials for the end of the year or for the end of the quarter, it's really easy to fall into compulsion, obsession, addictive behaviors. And so entering into it now, and all of us talking about, you know, what we're cooking up for the night is a balanced meal, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, everything in moderation, all good, healthy stuff. And then encouraging anybody listening to kind of assess, you know, what's their regular diet been? Has it been too much in one direction? Because the crash after the holidays for folks who don't stay on a healthy diet of good behaviors that leave them feeling self-satisfied rather than shamed or depressed, you know, January always comes. The bills come in, the weight gets packed on, the inevitable consequences of, you know, chemical overuse at the holidays, you know, work yourself to the bone and start the new year exhausted. However it plays out, you always pay the piper when there's an addictive process. And so my hope is that in having this conversation, we help people to avoid that. Because when it comes time to pay the bill, it's never a good feeling. So we just want really everybody to go into these holiday seasons thinking about balance, moderation, and abstinence where appropriate. You know, for true addictions and compulsions, then you abstain from those behaviors. And of course, people who have jobs that are workaholics can't just say, I'm not coming to work for the next 3 months. Or, you know, with compulsive eating, I think it's really, really difficult because you have to eat.
You know, that's something that, yeah, that it's always been a puzzlement to me, the whole food addiction and how you make sense out of that. Because of that issue, you cannot not eat.
Yeah. But you can check in with yourself. You know, you can check in with the why. Am I hungry? You can listen to your body. You can get in tune with why am I eating? What's going on here? What's driving this? Is it just, am I stuffing feelings? Is it a certain time of day that's a trigger for me? Is it that I'm lonely and I don't want to be alone, and so I eat to comfort myself? You can check in with, why am I doing this? And with moderation, we start slowly but surely replacing bad habits with good ones. And, you know, maybe not eating so much, maybe eating less unhealthy things and more healthy things, or maybe just grabbing onto a journal and saying, if I'm feeling scared or lonely or overwhelmed, I can write this out and I don't have to stuff it down with food.
One thing that we talked about last show was that one of the reasons why we're having this conversation in October is that it's so good to have a plan and so good to, you know, to figure out what you want it to be looking like, and then allowing yourself to get caught in the middle of all the holidays and things like that, and then you're kind of having to paddle for the fact that you really didn't think about it ahead of time. So I think a lot of that, too, really can go into looking at things from, you know, from a sense of, you know, knowing that you have addictive behaviors and having that plan, those tools that you can be able to pull out and have, make sure you have them around you, like you're saying, the journals and stuff like that, to make it to where you really feel like you've already got something there that can really help you to get in touch with things, in a more timely manner.
Well, and that's what we're all about with Transformation Cafe. It's really for seekers. And I think one of the most important places you need to be seeking is your own psyche, your own body, right, your own heart. And we all have coping mechanisms, and there are certain ones that become addicted. And if we can catch those, that really can create a much more balanced life. And I think I love your ideas of, you know, of journaling and really slowing the process down, whatever that addiction is, so you can really keep an eye on it.
And, you know, the thing about addictive processes, whatever they are, is there's a brain payoff. There's almost a relationship with the activity or with the chemical, and you know, it really becomes a primary relationship, even if it's secretive. And there's a passion behind it, and I believe there are passions that heal and there's passions that hurt. And this is a great time to take a look at passions that have hurt you, could hurt you, will probably hurt you in the future if left unchecked, and replace those with things that you can be passionate about that heal you. And it's different for everybody. For me, it's creating art and writing poetry and gardening and my pets and my grandson and going to live theater. And I mean, there are just these things that I love that bring life to life. And I believe in recovery, especially during the holiday season. You know, we really have to find those passions that heal, because the holidays are a time of excess. And
true.
Yeah, and that's really slippery for a lot of folks.
Some might
want
to throw
about that, lady.
I want to throw in the mix. We did the book Codependent No More a while ago, maybe a couple of years ago, and that has been really helpful for myself and for Robin. I don't know, how do you want to go about this, Robin? Throwing in the codependence no more, and how do we support ourselves as potentially codependents and supporting those that, you know, that have their issues that we love. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I think one thing with we always have to speak from a personal perspective, especially if you've been in any kind of recovery, that I went into codependency as part of my recovery. And, the key things of, like, you know, you're only doing the best you can with what you know. Gosh, that's been such a comfort and I guess when it comes to insanity that's around you, it really can help you to be able to balance yourself in a very quick way, that kind of thing. And just really kind of being able to have it to where you have the support that you need. What does my support group look like? Whether it's somebody who's actually, you know, in a 12-step or in a recovery group situation, ways that I do self-comfort and self-care. And I really would love, Kelly, for you to start talking about, you know, how do we empower ourselves, you know? Because, I mean, you know, really, what is addiction? Addiction is self-soothing when it comes to things that we're having a hard time handling. And whether we really realize it or not, our subconscious is really there trying to help us to deal with stuff that we can't necessarily be able to express in a verbal level or even get in touch with our emotions. So there's things that we're trying to buffer ourselves until we're actually able to see that and be able to move into a new understanding with ourselves. So when it comes to this empowerment, what are some things that, you know, looking at it from, because one thing I really wanted to put with this, you know, when I had our advertisement for this, we really talked about being able to give that a gift to yourself, of being having this new awareness in the way that you're looking at the things that you do or don't do to buffer yourself. And as you're walking into the holidays, you can catch yourself and say, oh, I used to do that, but I don't do that anymore. Or I have people that I can call when I want to slide back into those behaviors, and I know that I've got these people who really do want me to give them a call when it comes to something that I can walk through and feel like I'm in a safe place, being able to have a safe conversation about something that I just don't choose to want to have in my life anymore. And, you know, what does that look like for empowerment?
Oh, empowerment is a big topic. I'm going to start really small. I'm going to start with the smallest bit of empowerment I can think of, which is to say that no is a complete sentence.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to
explain
it. We don't have to justify it. We don't have to argue over the reasons why. No is a complete sentence. It requires nothing else other than that you just, if that's what you know is best for you, then you make that commitment, you say no, and you move on. You don't have to explain that to anybody. Whether you're setting boundaries for yourself or for somebody else, no is super empowering. And when you give yourself permission to use no as a complete sentence, you give it to everybody around you.
Absolutely.
Right? You start modeling that behavior. And without the ability to say no, people don't have really the ability to say less. Then they're full of shoulds and ought tos and musts, and they're making obligatory and false commitments because their heart's not in it. you know, but I should, but I have to. But what would happen if I didn't? And so no is a complete sentence, and we just give everybody permission for that. And then, you know, as you start walking up those stairs to empowerment, I think affirmations are transformational. Affirmations are phenomenal. I encourage everybody to look yourself in the eye, in the mirror, and say your affirmations. I started that with my daughter when she was probably 6.
Oh, wow.
And she would
laugh.
And she would have, she would have a hard time looking in the mirror. But she's a strong, poised, confident woman. And, you know, those affirmations, they get in there. So it might feel silly. It might seem silly. But try it. You know, I am an empowered and competent person. Look yourself in the eye. Say it with conviction 3 times a day through the holiday season. And see if you don't just notice the transformation throughout the season.
You know, one thing I would add to that is, you know, stand up and get into a super person pose. You know, you put your hands and fists and put them on your hips, you know, and stand tall and you know, like you're Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
And say that as well.
I love
it. We did Amy's Teddy book, A Presence, and there's just so much in scientific research just really proves that, you know, along with saying it, embodying it in that way, even if you do it a couple times, but then you can do it in your head and it's right there. You know, stuff like that too.
Yep.
I think that's just so empowering.
So I think that's a great approach when you know you're going to an event or you're going to be in a situation where you're going to be tempted for, you know, to step over the line of whatever your issue is. Is to set that affirmation, to do it, to do the power pose. I also call it the starfish, you know, when you throw your hands up and your arms back, and really make a conscious effort to do that, and really being conscious as you're going through, you know, whatever. Let's look at shopping for a minute. So, you know, you want to get gifts for people, and so it's a matter of, I guess I'm just going to throw some things out, you know, that what you create a budget and that's what you stick to. I mean, I'm not sure how to support the whole shopping addiction.
For folks who are compulsive shoppers, yeah, there needs to be preset limits. So those can be time limits. Those can be financial limits. That can be I only shop with my buddy who understands you know, what my limits are, whether that's time or money or both. But, you know, it's not something that you should, if that's a trigger, if that's a compulsion, it's not something you should do alone. You should banish yourself from shopping sites. You should make sure your credit cards aren't listed on Amazon. You know, make lists if that's more helpful. Check off who you bought for and stay within your budget. But the other thing is, does this really have to be bought? Does this really have to happen? You know, why am I purchasing? And again, that checking in with yourself. Am I shopping to shop? Is the season an excuse? Or is this something that, you know, it means something to me and I value this and I really want to do this? And I'm just a huge fan of, you know, unique, one of a kind, handmade, oven baked, whatever it is, you know, that people love heartfelt gifts.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we spend
a
lot of
last
money.
Show, we were talking last show, it could be a love, it could be some kind of an appreciation letter or something like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be anything that's like the, you know, crocheted hat or something. It could be just a heartfelt message about who I see you as and how you impact my life. Gosh, that's a great gift.
I'll tell you,
somebody.
A gift that I love is you write down 50 things, 50 memories or 50 qualities of someone. So if you and I had decades of history, Amy, I would write down 50 memories or qualities, things about you that I love. And I would put each of those pieces of paper in a box, and I would put the make the box beautiful, and I would give that to you so that over the course of the next year, whenever you needed to, you could reach into that box and pull out something that either that I love about you or some great memory of something we did together. And that's a gift that lasts a lifetime. I mean, those things are so valued.
That's beautiful. I love that. And Robin at the flower shop, she creates events where people come together and make bouquets. She's also talked about creating other making things. So I think there's a real need for that, Robin, that people need to come together and have that connection and that making together.
Well, you know, it's like these painting parties and stuff where people do painting and all different kinds of activities. It's that making something and sharing it with that other person. We went to a painting class. My daughter and I went to a painting class one time. We put the canvases together, and I kind of painted on one, and she painted on the other. And then when we put it together, it made a bigger picture. And she has it in her bedroom. It's one of the things she just really treasures. And, I mean, it didn't cost that much money to do something like that. You wouldn't even necessarily have to go to a special class. Just kind of choose something you want to do together and then, you know, have the fun of putting it together, you know, as just something, a day you spend doing that for, you know, one another. It's just so special.
Yes, yes. Those things that make memories,
those
finger
are painting.
Invaluable.
Let's finger paint a picture together.
Okay.
Let's do it. Come to my art room. Let's play.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, that's one of the best gifts you can give somebody is, like you said, you know, going and watching live theater together and then going out and talking about it. And then, you know, or it just these things that really inspire the soul. Because when it comes to art in any way that's being expressed, whether it's writing with poetry, a painting, or, you know, creating, you know, playing with silly putty or clay or whatever, I think a great gift is to go to a toy store and pick out something together and you share that activity with each other, whether it's a game or an art project or something like that. You just pick something and say, let's do this together and make that kind of fun. I do that with my youngest. Sometimes she's having a bad day. We'll go to the baby aisle and we'll just play with the baby toys. And it's just so much fun because you forget that type of that part of yourself. And it's fun to see how they're making new toys that are for, you know, for infants and just young kids. And, you know, what does that stir inside of yourself? It was like, wow, I wish I would have had that when I was little, you know, that kind of thing. I get jelly, but that's okay.
Oh, Robin, that gift of time. That gift of time together. That is such a great gift. And the holidays can be, you know, depending on your culture or your family, they can be so focused on food. And for people with eating disorders, that is an uncomfortable minefield. You know, whether it's compulsive overeating or anorexia or bulimia, I mean, for folks with an eating disorder, that's a really, really difficult time. And so setting up those great fun things and giving the gift of time, but not centering everything around, let's get together for lunch, let's get together for a meal, let's have a big dinner, let's, you know.
My friends and I get together and we have a health potluck. So the rule on that is basically it has to be some kind of a vegetarian dish. And then we basically have a game day. We play games, and the food is a secondary thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's really great, Robin. But let's also talk about we have a tradition where we have a dessert bar, and everybody brings dessert. And we have at least a couple of people that do have that issue. So I'm sure people are going to bring fruit and whatever for those people. So that's the here we go, the codependence, is that so everybody's supposed to bring some dessert, and we have, like I said, at least two people, maybe three, that I know for sure have an issue with that.
So, you know, eating disorders can be life-threatening, and so when that exists within your social circle or your family and you have get-togethers, I would say take that heartily into consideration with your planning. Maybe you want to change that. Maybe you want to look at that. Maybe you want to start some new traditions. Because if you had somebody that was fresh out of treatment or still practicing alcoholism or heroin addiction, you certainly wouldn't have those substances around. It's a tricky thing.
Right? And the whole thing with drinking, too, especially in New Year's Eve, you know?
Yeah.
That, you know, I know we get our families together, and we have some young people, a lot of, you know, kids now in their 20s. And I think that does – is there any – with you, Robin, and I know you've got daughters and boyfriends that are younger – do you worry about that when you have get-togethers, you know, game nights and the drinking?
Well, I think, you know, we bring sparkling cider and we bring...
Yeah, but
I try to bring
that. But they are drinking.
Well, you know, most of the time is you know, I don't know. I guess I'm lucky because, you know, when my daughters are brought over, their guys, they basically, you know, we kind of have people bring alcohol if they want to drink alcohol. But nobody's ever really... had it to be where it was excessive. I can't say that I've ever had that problem. So I guess I'm lucky in that aspect. Although, you know, I have gone to parties and things like that where, and, you know, while it was in my codependent, you know, groups and things like that, people would have those challenges of being able to talk about, you know, what do you do? And, I mean, when it comes to addiction, you know, I think part of it's the people around them just saying, when you drink, I'm not going to be around you. That's not okay for me. So you basically pull yourself from those relationships. Or just really have these kind of, like you're saying, you know, no is no, and have it be a full sentence in the way that I'm, you know, it's about those boundaries, what you make okay and not okay. So I think that's part of it being really clear. And planning it now, I think it's a good idea, too, because you're talking about that. Like, you know, I'm thinking about years past where, you know, if somebody's had a situation where it got very uncomfortable or somebody was out of control and, you know, they've been through rehab, it's a matter of, like, you know, how can we be supporting you and still in a place where people can feel comfortable? I mean, that's one thing, you know, I'm really learning with my friends is to talk about, you know, life changes and our situations change, but we still want to spend time together. So how would that look? You know, what would you like that to look like? And everybody puts what they feel out on the, you know, in the conversation. And we find new ways of having it work for, you know, for everybody. So it's not a matter of, like, it always has to be, because we talked about expectations last show about what it was and how it should be. And that doesn't mean that it needs to stay that way, because we're all changing and evolving all the time. So what works now as opposed to the way we used to do it. I think that's a very healthy way of looking at it.
And I think part of what's going on is I think there are people in recovery that we don't really know are.
Right.
And so,
that's a very good point.
Is us trying to be vigilant to watch for those cues.
I think, I think that's kind. I think, you know, if we want people to be healthy and live fulfilling lives, then an awareness of who might be in recovery is great, because it's a sticky time of year for a lot of folks, and the hardest thing to resist is temptation. And so I say all the time, don't put yourself in temptation's way. Being able to have open, honest conversations like this and start them now for your holiday season, like, hey, you know, you used to drink a lot. I haven't seen that anymore. Are you in recovery? And so, you know, well, that's fantastic. We're happy to have alcohol-free holidays, or, you know, what are you comfortable with? I think all of that's fantastic. Or you've lost 70 pounds this year. I know that must have been a lot of hard work. Oh, my gosh. So how about if we forego the dessert bar so you don't have the temptation of that, and let them make that decision? You know, if they say, nope, I've been off sugar for 7 months, doesn't bother me to be around it, okay. But if they say, oh, my God, that would be fantastic because I've already been sweating. I don't want to gain that 70 pounds back.
Right. You know, and if somebody talks about a dessert bar, a dessert bar doesn't have to be like it used to be. You know, when it comes to natural.
Well, the bottom line is we have to have that conversation. What are you comfortable with? What are you not comfortable with? That's where it has to start, I think. And that's a really good point. And that's what this is all about in our union together, is creating sacred space where people can have these conversations. And then you go, now what?
Say to somebody, what would feel supportive? What would your ideal holidays be if you were just completely supported in your good intentions through the holidays? What would it look like, and how can I be part of that?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I think that's really wonderful. And then knowing that other people who are going to be at that event, even just to be supportive of that person without maybe even making them part of the conversation, is like, you know, how can we support that person knowing that they've lost those 70 pounds? and know that that's something, or they're, you know, they can't do glutens and things like that, you know, knowing that people's bodies change and they, you know, their addiction, they may now have allergies and stuff like that that they didn't have before. You know, how do we modify our holidays so we can just enjoy everybody? It's not necessarily about the food. It's the company that we get to keep.
Exactly. I like having the conversation, so, you know, acknowledging people's distress or success either way, because we know it, you know, so why not name it? Why not why not say, hey, you know, I know you've struggled. I know, you know, you've gone up and down with this, or I know the holidays are hard. I know you get a lot of pressure at work, and I know you're trying to set boundaries and, you know, not work 80 hours a week or whatever it is. How can I support you in that? What would feel supportive? What could I do?
So if anybody's in the Las Vegas area and they want to be able to get a hold of you, Kelly, what would be a good contact for them?
They can get a hold of, I'm on Psychology Today. If you just look on Psychology Today, you can find me, Kelly Swan. There's a number there that will take you directly to my voicemail. There's also 800, oh my gosh, I can't even think of my 800 number right now. So I'll just throw my mobile out. It's 253-905-0225, or you can confidentially email me at kelly.swan@renewservices.org.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, that'd be great. So, and do you have any like support groups and things like that that people could get involved with? I'm sure there's things that you could recommend for people to get connected with, that kinds of stuff. So, any last words? We're at our 30 minutes. So, is there any kind of last words or tips for people as we're kind of winding down here?
I think the bottom line is have those conversations. You know, really open that space where we can really, how do we support each other? Yay. Let's do it.
Yay. Ladies, it has been such a pleasure to chat with you. This is fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks for coming to the table. We'll have to have you in the new year for talking about, you know, with the new year, being able to embrace our year and what that looks like, and how we move past these addictions. I think that would be a great show.
Yeah, living.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Love it. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate you both immensely.
Well, thank you. Okay, so we want to just thank our regular international audience for joining us. Any questions, comments, you know, go ahead and contact us with the show. And thanks, Kel. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Good night, ladies.
All right. Have a great week.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.